Hi, we are holding on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, fourth line of the widest line. Languages late. Okay, we mentioned yesterday. We talked yesterday about what the essential part of Shema is. We said that the Rebbe would actually only say the first pasuk because that's the minimum that you need in order to be Yotze Daraisa. To at least be Makabel O Malchus Shemayim, and we talked about also the various details involving how far you have to have Kavana. So another din related to that, Omer of Ila Breder of Shmuel Bamarcha B'Shmei Derav, Omer, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, suppose a person says the first pasuk Shema, with Kavana, the Nenes B'Sheina, and at that point he has an onus, he's falling asleep. So not that he doesn't say the rest of it, which means, according to most of the Mephoshim, he continues to say it, but the rest of it he's saying, while he's half asleep, so he's not really having kavana. Yotze, then he's yotze. And in that connection, because you have to say the whole thing, so he said the whole thing, but he said the rest of it he was half asleep, and therefore he didn't...
Which rest of it?
The rest of it to Baruch Shem and Rehavta. And then the rest of Shema.
They just said Shema.
So he said Shema with Kavana, enough to be able to, that he's awake enough, he's alert enough to be able to say that part of the Kavana, but no more than that.
So then he has to then.
He says the first pasuk with
Shema.
Then you're not listening. Again, he says the whole thing, but only the pasuk, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, he says while he's fully alert. The rest of it he says while he's half asleep. That's what I'm saying. Omer Rav Nachman says to his servant, to his slave, Doru, the same way, when it comes to the first pasuk of Shema, then bother me, wake me up as much as possible. If you see that I'm sleepy, wake me up so that I get some awake enough to be able to say the first pasuk with Kavana. More than that, once I pass the first pasuk, then don't bother, because even if I'm half asleep and I say Shema in that state, then I'm still Yotze, so therefore don't bother me after that. Although there is an interesting explanation that what Rav Nachman means is once he's awake enough to say the pasuk Shema with Kavana, then automatically he'll be awake enough to the rest of it, and then Daru doesn't need to bother him anymore. But the simple meaning is that he's saying that even if I am falling asleep during the rest of it, as long as I'm saying it, then I'm good. Similarly, Omele Rav Yosef Breid Rabba, Rav Yosef asked Rav Yosef, the son of Rabba, so you have Rabba and Rav Yosef were Haverim. Later on, Rabba was the Rosh Shiva and Pompadisa. Rav Yosef succeeded him in that. So Rabba had a son, Rav Yosef. So these are two different Rav Yosefs. So the elder one, the Chava of Rabba, is asking his friend's son, Avucha Hechav Ovid, how did your father do when he was saying Shema? Amalei says the same thing. During the first pasuk, he would be bothering himself. He'd be pinching himself or whatever to keep himself awake in order that he can say it with Kavana. Beyond that, he wouldn't, because even if he's falling asleep, as long as he says the whole thing, then he gets it. Okay. Another din. Omer of Yosef, Prakdon Mayuka Krishma. A person who's lying down, Prakdon, should not say Shema. Prakdon, Rashi explains over here, and in other places in Shas, we had it's a Nida as well, for example, that Prakdon means somebody lying face up. Somebody lying on his back, face up.
How do we know that?
Rashi explains, because that's how Rashi explains, that in Nida it says that a person is not supposed to sleep. Is not supposed to sleep. Prakdon, as the Gemara is going to mention in a second over here. And Rashi gives a reason. So according to Rashi, Prakdon means face up. On the other hand, Tosfos over there brings that maybe Prakdon can mean actually face down. Anyway, so...
Where does Rashi derive it from?
I don't know.
Means face up.
Because you have in I don't remember exactly, but Rashi just says, Shoichav al gavi upon v'mayla. It means that he's lying on his back and his face is up. I don't remember exactly where Rashi gets the derivation from, but whatever. Anyway, the point is, so a person lying like that should not say Krishma because it's not respectful to Hashem. So the question is, Mikrohu de la Likri, are you saying you're just not allowed to say Shema in that position, Homigna Shapu Jami, but other than that, to sleep in that position is fine? Rabbi Shulam Levi lies amandigami apartheid. Rabbi Shulam Levi would curse somebody who lies apartheid, who goes to sleep apartheid. Now, according to Rashi, that we're talking about face up, the problem is, Rashi over here explains, the problem is that during the night, as he sleeps, he may have an erection. It's actually fairly normal that men do while they're asleep. And then it's visible to everybody, so it's a gnai, so it looks very bad. Not necessarily. People didn't always sleep with blankets, but even if a person does have a blanket over him, it's still, you know, you can still see. But besides that, also elsewhere, Rashi talks about also in that Nida, Rashi talks about the idea also that a person is lying that way, he's likely that at some point during the night, his hands are going to end up below his waist on there, and in Nida talks about the seriousness of a person's hands being over there and stimulating himself and whatever. Tosfos, who learns that prakta means face down, they say it's also because of kishuri, but the other way around, because lying face down, and therefore with his aver, with his body on top of his aver, is likely to stimulate it, rubbing it between himself and the sheet. And
so you
sleep on your side as much as possible. You do what you can, but anyway. So the point is, or even if you're going to sleep on your, even if you're going to sleep on your back or on your face or whatever, you turn a little bit. Okay. So the point is, you're not supposed to even lie that way, much less say Shema. So why is Rav Yosef focusing on Shema? Amri, so the answer like this: Migna ki masli. If a person, when he's lying down, is turned a little bit on his side, shakur dami, then that's fine. That takes care of these. That takes care of these issues. Mikra, but when it comes to saying Shema, afagav the masli, even if he's lying partly on his side, nami also, then it's also for a different reason, because when a person is lying down, basically on his back or basically on his face, according to the different opinions, even if he's leaning a little bit, then it's still, he's makabal, Rashi says, he's makabal mafas shemayim, they're a sror of a gaiva. He's acting like a very important person. Lying on his back, even turned a little bit to his side, is derech surah of a guy. It's a disrespectful position to say Shemayim. So the question is, Rabbi Yochanan masli the party. Don't we find that Rabbi Yochanan did just that? He turned a little bit to his side and said Shema. Then so shiny Rabbi Yochanan the Baal Basar Hava. Rabbi Yochanan is a little different because he was very large, he was very fat, and therefore he couldn't turn. Therefore it was hard for him. To get all the way on his side or to get up. So therefore you have a heter. If a person is a Baal Basar, then they can do that. It does say, the poskim do say, if we're talking about the person is lying completely on his side, then he doesn't even need to be a Baal Basar. Then even if he's a regular physique, then he's allowed to when he's completely on his side. But here we're talking about he's mainly on his stomach or mainly on his back, and turning only a little bit to the side. That he has a heter for only if it's a Baal Basar.
Masli, the root.
The root is, I don't know what the root is, but the root is to turn on his side. We have actually the Shurdish Sali Davin we have throughout the Masechta, but it also means to turn. You have, for example, in Targum Onkelos, for example, when it talks about perverting judgment, to Loisata Mishpat, then it translates it as Loisata Din. So it means to turn to the side. All right, we said in the Mishnah over Prakim Shoyol Chola that we said during the sections between the paragraphs of Shema and its Baruch, as we said, then we had a Machlokas in the Mishnah. We had Rav Meir saying that between the paragraphs, Beina Prakim, you're allowed to greet somebody, initiate a greeting, where the kind of person who we have to give cover to. And you're allowed to answer a greeting from such a person in the, between paragraphs. In the middle of a paragraph, only if it's b'pnei ayira, which Rashi had said meant if it's, we're talking about the kind of person who's afraid will kill him for disrespecting him and not greeting him. And according to the Rashi and other Rishonim, it means the kind of person that he owes yira to. Because, for example, it's his Rebbe or his father or whatever. And then he can interrupt the Emsa to initiate or to answer. That's your mayor. And Rabbi Yehuda said that, no, returning a greeting is there's more leniency than initiating the greeting. In the middle of a paragraph, you're allowed to initiate the greeting with Nei Ayira, like the mayor says. But to return a greeting, that can even be covered. And Beina Prakim, you're allowed to initiate the path covered, like the mayor says, but then you're allowed to answer shalom to anybody. Says Rabbi Yehuda, if it's Beina Prakim. Okay, so the question is, Meshiv Machmas Mai. When Rabbi Meir is saying that b- between the sections, between the parakim, you're allowed to initiate and you're allowed to answer. What are we talking about? To answer somebody what? Because of covered or because of yira? Covered. Are you going to say that it means that you have somebody who you have to give covered to, and therefore if he greets you, you're allowed to answer? What do you mean? You don't need that. Hashem Mishal Shoyl. If you're even allowed to initiate the greeting to such a person, if you're even allowed to initiate the greeting, during the Baya, does it need to be said that you can return the greeting? Which obviously would be even less respect than to, if the other guy greets you, obviously, if you're even allowed to initiate a greeting to him, Pnei HaKavod, of course you're allowed to answer if he greets you first. Elam Pnei HaKavod, so you're going to say that it means that you're allowed to respond to Pnei HaKavod, Hainu de Rabbi Yehuda. Then it comes out, he's saying the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda. V'tnan, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a b'emsa shalom Pnei Yehuda, Umeshev Pnei HaKavod. Rabbi Yehuda said in the middle of a paragraph, you can initiate a greeting because of Yira and respond because of Kavod, or Prakim Shalom Pnei HaKavod, or Meshav Shalom HaKadam. And between the paragraphs, you're allowed to initiate a greeting with Pnei HaKavod, and you're allowed to greet, you're allowed to greet anybody. So then, in that case, if he's saying that you're allowed to return a greeting with Pnei HaKavod, then if he's saying it's with Pnei HaKavod, then it comes out the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda. And if he's saying it's with Pnei Yira, then why does it need to be said? The answer is Chassuri Metzera. The Mishnah is missing words, which we have, of course, throughout Shas. Chassuri Metzera, in other words, that Rashi explains over here, the Farshim explains, since this is the first time you have a Chassuri Metzera in Shas, Rashi wants to explain how that works. In both cases of the Mishnah, it should have said, needless to say that Meshiv, etc. So the Mishnah is missing words. And many Mephoshim say it doesn't literally mean that it's missing words. It just means the Tana was able, we used a shorter expression and depended on us to be able to fill it in. Anyway, Vahofi Kofani. But Prokim Shem of Nakovid, between the paragraphs, you can initiate a greeting because of Kovid. The Ein Sarah Chloy Mashul Meshiv, needless to say, that you can respond to somebody else who you owe Kovid to, who initiates a greeting to you. Over emtsa shem of Pnei Yira, in the middle of a paragraph, you're only allowed to initiate because of Yira. The ein tzarich loy mashul meshiv, needless to say, you're allowed to respond to the greeting. Divrei Rav Meir, that's what Rav Meir says. Rav Yehuda says, the emtsa shem of Pnei Yira, meshiv Pnei HaKavod, and then Rav Yehuda, we don't need to change anything in his. In the middle of a paragraph, you're allowed to initiate because of Yira, or meshiv Pnei HaKavod, and respond where it's a matter of Kavod. Over prasim shem of Pnei HaKavod, meshiv shalom l'chadam. And then between the paragraphs, you can even ask, you can even greet because of covered, and you can respond to anybody.
Is nodding considered an interruption, or he would just talking?
He was talking about speaking.
Speaking.
He was talking about speaking. It is true that the Gemara says, I think we may have it during the next couple of blasts, I don't remember, that a person shouldn't be nodding or making motions or whatever during Shema, but he was talking about actually interrupting to speak. Yeah. Okay. Okay, Tanya Nami Hochi, in fact, we learn like that in the Braisa, so our understanding of the mayor is correct, that he doesn't mean, in the first part, he doesn't mean Meshiv Pnei Yira, and in the second part, he doesn't mean Meshiv Pnei Yira between the Prakim, because then, I skipped a couple of lines in the Gemara. That's why I'm finding it confusing. Let's try that again. Meshiv Machnas Mai, again, with a mayor. What are we saying he's responding because of what? Elaim of Pnei HaKavod, are you saying that between the Prakim he's allowed to answer somebody because of Kavod? What do you mean, Hashem Mishal Shohel, if he's able to ask, if he's able to greet, Adurim Ebaya, needless to say he's allowed to respond, Ela Shalom of Pnei HaKavod, and Meshiv Shalom L'Chodem. Evidently, the mayor apparently means that to initiate Bein HaKrokim can be because of Kavod, but to respond would be to anybody. The problem with that is Ema Sefer, but look at the next part of the Mishnah. Over Emtsa Shoyim Pnei Yira Omeshiv, then it said in the middle he can initiate because of Yira and respond. And again, the question is Meshiv Machlas Mai. Elaim Pnei Yira, if you're saying that he can respond because of Yira, of course he can respond because of Yira. Hashem Mishal Shoyim, you have the same question as you'd have on the Resha. If he can even initiate, then for sure he can respond. Elam is not covered, but if you're going to say that he can respond in between the Prakim and because of covered, Hain is Rabbi Yehuda. Then we have it the same as Rabbi Yehuda. The sound of Rabbi Yehuda and the Emtsa Shem is now Yerom Nesh is now covered, or Prakim Shem is now covered, and Meshav Shalom Chodom. So what does it mean? Does he mean that the Meshiv is on the same level is to the same level person as the is the Meshiv to the same level person as the Shoyl, then why does it need to say it? And if the Meshiv is one level lower in both cases, then he's saying the same as Rabbi Yehuda. And the answer is Hasuri Mechzor, the Ochav Tifani, but Prokham Shem of Knakov the Ben Sarah Flomishu Meshiv, or the Em Tashem of Knakov the Ben Sarah Flomishu Meshiv, Jibra Meir. So in Rabbi Meir, we have to add the Ein Sarah Loimar twice. We have to say that the Meir, yes, he does mean Meshiv to the same kind of person that Yeshoyal in both cases. So he is different than Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda in each case is downgrading the Shoyal and saying the Shoyal can lead to one less, to a person of one lesser level. The mayor disagrees with that. Why does he need to say it? You're right, he doesn't really need to say it. The Mishnah is actually saying that you can initiate, and needless to say, you can respond. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm going to show him now, you're going to show him now, covered, or perhaps I'm showing him now, covered, or maybe I'm showing him now, covered. So it comes out that the mayor is, so the difference is that the mayor is not actually making a distinction between the Shoyal and the Meshiv, but he isn't making a distinction between the Shoyal and the Meshiv, but he is the reason why the Mishnah mentioned it. You're right, the Mishnah, he could have just the mayor is actually telling us that you can initiate and needless to say you can respond. So we add the word Ve'en Tzarech Loimar in both places in the Mishnah.
Nobody makes a difference between Kavod and Yira, in other words?
No, Rabbi Meir says there's a difference between Kavod and Yira as far as Bein Ephrakim and Emtz Ephrakim. Rabbi Yehuda also does. But the difference is, Rabbi Meir makes that distinction as far as both initiating and responding, and Rabbi Yehuda makes it only as far as initiating, as far as responding. He says that there's never a time when you're not allowed to respond because of Yira. You're always allowed to respond with Ne'a Yira. And even with Nath covered, you're allowed to even in the middle of a Perek. Only if it's going to be L'chol Adam, that Rabbi Yehuda says has to be Bein Ephrakim.
Okay, so Yira, it can be...
So according to... Okay.
There's four cases. It's covered Yira and Shoel and Meshi.
Yes. So Rabbi Meir is saying when it comes between in the middle of a Perek, only for Yira, both of them. When it comes to covered, both of them, you can do both of them when it comes to between. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying as far as initiating, I agree with the mayor, but as far as responding, I say one level down. Tani Nami Hochi, Akore Shema, we learn similarly in a Braise. If a person is saying Shema, or Pogabai Rabbi Godol Hemenu, and his Rebbe or somebody who's greater than him meets up with him, the Prokim Shoyim of Na'a Kavod, so then if it's between chapters, between sections of Shema, he can initiate a greeting to the Kavod. The Ein Tzarech Loimar Shehu Meshiv, needless to say that he can respond. Or the Emtza Shoyim of Na'a Yira, in the middle, he can initiate because of Yira. The Ein Tzarech Loimar Shehu Meshiv, needless to say that he can respond. Divrei Rav Meir, so we see that the Braita is saying that the Ein Tzarech Loimar that we had to insert into our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, the Emtza Shoyim of Na'a Yira, Meshiv of Na'a Kavod, that Rabbi Yehuda says that if in the middle of a paragraph you can initiate because of Yira and respond because of Kavod, or with Prokim Shalom of Na'akavod, or Meshav Shalom of Adam, and between chapters you can initiate a greeting where you owe somebody Kavod and you can respond to anybody. So the same thing as we said in our Mishnah, but with the addition of the Ve'en Tzarech Loimar and the mayor to make it more clear. By the way, the Rashba brings over here, he says, Rashi is saying in the Mishnah that Yira refers to somebody who, for example, a nobleman or whatever, or a king or whatever, who might kill a person if he doesn't respond to him. But we see in our Gemara, that's Yira. But we see over here in the Braita that we're mentioning his Rebbe or somebody who's greater than him. So obviously that's not the case with them. But doesn't that prove that Yira doesn't mean that kind of Yira? It means Yira as an all, like a person has to have all for his Rebbe.
Yira can mean both. It means he's right.
Well, but it means, because what does it mean in terms of our Mishnah? So actually, there's an answer. I think what Slack says, very simple. The Mishnah is not, I mean, the Braisa is not giving examples of Yira, it's giving examples of Kavod. So therefore, no contradiction. Rashi would still be able to say that Yira is not, that the examples of Yira are not being given here in the Braisa, but Yira would still include. Okay. You're asking who the halacha is like. By the way, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, because in general, Tosfos points out whenever you have a mayor against Rabbi Yehuda, usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Tosfos also gets into the point. Now, nowadays, that whole issue is somewhat uncommon because even people to whom a person owes kavod and yira are not going to be offended if he doesn't interrupt and greet them in the middle of Shema, between the sections of Shema, or whatever, you know. So therefore, but what it is relevant for is, as far as the question, when a person is in the middle of Shema, and there's a bracha that needs to be said. For example, if there's thunder or lightning, and he needs to say the bracha on that. Or for example, he gets an aliyah and there's a bracha on Torah. Or for example, or he hears something to which he needs to respond. Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, etc. So what exactly are the dinim there? So Tosfos gets into it briefly over here and says that, therefore, for example, to answer to Kaddish and Kedusha in the middle, then that's truly mitnah kavod, and you'd be allowed to. As far as be'emsa, in the middle of a perek, Tosfos says in the middle of Shemona Esrei, then it would be osur, because during Shemona Esrei itself, you're not allowed to interrupt at all. So you have, based on this Tosfos, you have a good deal of discussion. There's a siman in Shulchan Aruch about it, a siman Samach Vav, that talks about the details, when you're allowed and when you're not allowed to interrupt in the middle of Shema and its bracha for various purposes. You have those, you know, many of the newer siddurim, you can find the table on the back, on the end tables or whatever, that shows the details. Right, that addresses many of the different possible.
So one second. Let's say you're in the middle of a perek, right?
Right.
So you have to complete the perek by the time you complete the parrot, they moved on.
So therefore, for some of those things, you're allowed to even be emsa parrot. But some of these things are machlokes. For example, the question about the bracha on thunder and lightning, that's initiating, that's not responding. So therefore, maybe there's less of a heter for that. Given that the halacha is a kibbehoda, that the emsa you're only allowed to mea yira, then maybe that doesn't apply to things like that, where you're initiating by saying the bracha. But maybe it applies to responding. For example, it could apply to responding to Kaddish or Kedusha or whatever. So you have, for example, even Bam Sat Perek, as long as it's not in the middle of the Pasuk or something, then yeah, you do. You answer to the main parts of Kedusha, you answer to the main parts of Kaddish, you answer to Baruch Hu.
Even in the middle of the Perek.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. So again, there's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch about it. The Alter Rebbe also has a long discussion about it in the Siddur, fine-tuning some of the details. And you have the tables that you can find in the back of the Siddur and summarize the various things.
So if you interrupt yourself because of Kedusha or Kaddish,
then afterwards you continue.
You don't have to start.
Right. Okay. Achi, who that was his name, who was Tana, he was the one who reviewed Braises by heart in the yeshiva of Rav Chiya. He asked Rav Chiya, "Bahal of a Megillah Mao Shiyasek." Okay, here we're talking about this business of She'elas Shalom, of greeting somebody or responding to a greeting in the middle of Shema. What would be the dinim in the middle of Hallel or in the middle of reading the Megillah or hearing the Megillah? Do we say Amrinan Kavachaimer? Do we say a Kavachaimer? Krishma Daraisa Posek. If during Shema, which is Daraisa, you're allowed to interrupt for Shailas Shalom. Halal Drabonan Miboya. Does it need to be said that on that Halal, which is Drabonan, needless to say, you're allowed to? There is, by the way, that Ramban holds that Halal is Daraisa. So he would do with our Gemara over here. He would say we're talking about the times when Halal is only Drabonan, for example, on Rosh Chodesh. The Rambam takes it more straightforwardly than how it's strictly the Rambam.
The Rambam holds that
this that we say hallow on a day that Nisim happens to Jewish people, he learns the Zarai. Okay, anyway. Or maybe there is an advantage to hallow and Megillah over Shema, namely that there's Pursum and Nisim involved. Amalei, so Rav Chiya tells him, Posik the Enbatachlum. You are allowed to interrupt and there's no issue with it.
Interrupt
Hallel or the Megillah for She'elas Shalom.
They always announce it sure that when you interrupt the Megillah, you're not Yotzi.
If you don't listen to a word of the Megillah, then you're not Yotzi. Here we're talking about that a person is hearing the Megillah. In between, he pauses, does She'elas Shalom, and meanwhile, the Baal Korei, or he himself is the Baal Korei, or whatever, the Baal Korei stops also at that point. The guy who's hearing says Sholem, and then the Baal Kerry continues. So he's not missing. Then he's missing words. That's different. I'm not talking about that.
Okay, so that's
what it means. The interruption itself is not an issue. Right. Now, strictly for things like She'elas Sholem or answering to Kaddish and Kedusha and whatever, we're not just talking about for casual conversation in the middle. That you're not allowed to. Okay. Omar Rabba. So Rabba says there's details in that. Yomim Shayochid Gomer Behenes Hallel, on days when even an individual finishes Hallel, namely, in other words, on the first 2 days of Pesach, on Shavuos, on Sukkot, and Shmini Atzeres, and Simchat Torah, on Hanukkah, all the days when even an individual davening by himself says full Hallel, then the din is... No, well, again, according to the Ramban, the concept of saying Hallel is Daraisa, but maybe not specific words, because that's in Tillim, but the concept of praising Hashem on days when this didn't happen to us, he learns it's Daraisa, the Ramban learns that it's the Ramban. Anyway, on days when Yochid Gomer Behenes HaHallel, which in Chutz La'aretz are 21 days a year, then Bein Perek LaPerek Posek, then on those days, Hallel is considered a more stringent thing, because you're saying the whole thing, there's an actual chiyuv in it. Therefore, Bein Perek LaPerek Posek, therefore between paragraphs you're allowed to break for Sheilas Shalom, the Emsa Perek Ene Posek, but not in the middle of a paragraph. On the other hand, when a yochid is not saying the full hallel, which means on Rosh Chodesh and on the last days of Pesach, then you would be allowed to stop even in the middle of a perek, because on those days the chiyuv of saying hallel is lower. Tosfos actually has a long discussion over here about the question is that are you even required to say Hallel on those days at all, or is it just basically a matter of minhag, which actually gets into it on the Shchodesh and on the last 6 days of Pesach, which then Tosfos gets into a long discussion on the question, do you make a bracha on Hallel on those days? On the face of it, you don't make a bracha on a minhag. Nevertheless, though, you know, you have other posts can disagree and say that since it's a strong, well-founded minhag, then therefore we do. So you have, for example, in the Siddur, you have the instructions over there that if a person is that's better to be yotzer with the chazan's bracha at the beginning and the end, and that way you have less of an issue of a bracha levatala on those days.
So you should prefer.
So preferably on those days, it says in the Siddur, with that said, be yotzer with the chazan's bracha on days when you don't say complete hallel. With that said, it also brings that the Rabbeim would instruct people privately to that they should actually say the bracha themselves. So most people in Lubavitch, at least as far as I know, do that.
So the days that you have to stay the full hallel.
I just said the first 2 days of Pesach, the 2 days of Shavuos, the 9 days of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, and Simchat Torah, and the 8 days of Hanukkah.
Rosh Hashanah,
you don't say hallel. Come on, you know that. Okay. So the question is, Amy, is that so? You're telling me that on days when you don't say full hallel, you're allowed to interrupt even in the middle of a parak. But Rav Bar Shaba ikla l'gabei de Ravina. It happened once that Rav Bar Shaba visited Ravina. The yomim she'ena yachid gomim behenes hallel abba. It was one of those days when you don't say full hallel. So it was one of the last 6 days of Pesach, or it was Rosh Chodesh. The loy posiklei, and Ravina did not interrupt hallel to greet him. The answer is shiny. Rav Bar Shaba, but like Choshev Aleid Ravina. Rav Bar Shaba is different because Ravina didn't consider him that important. He wasn't of the caliber that Ravina should interrupt in the middle of Hallel, not Mifnah Covenant, not Mifnah Yira, in order to greet him. So that's different. So even though technically it's true that you could, because you are allowed to eat poisis, but nevertheless, Ravina didn't wasn't going to interrupt Hallel in order to greet him. Okay. Since we mentioned where Achi, the Tana of Rav Chiya, asked Rav Chiya a question, Malachos, the Gemara brings another case where one of these Tanoim and one of the Yeshivas asked the Rosh Yeshiva a question. And also, actually, the Tzlach points out, not only that, but you also have a similarity that Achi asked a question where he had, maybe you say that if you can interrupt during Kriyashma, how much more so during Hallel, which is only Drabbanan, or maybe Kursum and Nisa is more, and Rav Chiya tells him a whole new thing which he never even thought of, where he says, Posek Vein Batakwam, you can interrupt and there's no issue with it. So in this next question, similarly, you're going to have where the Tana thinks of two possibilities, and Rav Ami responds to him with a third possibility that he didn't even think of. If somebody is fasting, is he allowed to taste something? For example, he's cooking something, he needs to taste it to make sure, does it have enough salt, does it have enough spices or whatever? The question
fasting,
is that's a good point. Hold that thought a second. The question is, Achilo Shia Kabbalale, do we say that he only accepted on him to fast, the Haleka, so therefore there's no issue over here because he's not actually eating, he's only tasting it. Or maybe what he accepted on himself, he's not going to have any hana from food on that day, and he's having hana because he's tasting it. On the way, so Rab Ami tells him, you can taste it and there's no issue with it. Tani nami hachi, we learn in fact like that in a braisa, mat emes ena to'una bracha, when a person is tasting food to see whether it has enough salt or whatever, you don't need a bracha. Bashori b'tainis, and somebody who is fasting, toyim v'ein b'kach klum, is allowed to taste something and there's no problem with it. Ad kama, how much can he taste and there's no problem. Rab Ami, v'rab Asi tami ad shir of Isa. The answer is Rab Ami and Rab Asi would taste up to the shir of Rav Isa. So now, there is a lot to unpack over here. First of all, you asked, are we talking about a private fast, or are we talking about a fast that's kavua? So the answer is, actually, in Shulchan Aruch it brings two opinions. One is that it applies to all fasts, whether a private person's fast, or whether it's talking about one of the six fasts throughout the year, except Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. But on the other hand, there's another opinion that says that no, that it applies only to a private fast that a person voluntarily took on himself, which seems to be implied by the wording of the Gemara over here, Kabbalah or like Kabbalah, he accepted on himself or not. And that is in fact the accepted minhag, is that a person doesn't taste food at all on one of the public fast days, like Sarah Batavis or Tainus Esther and so forth, and certainly not on Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur. Second of all, you have the question, a second question is, when we talk about tasting over here, are we talking about he tastes it and swallows it, or are we just talking about he tastes it and spits it out?
Tasting is not swallowing.
But it can be. You can be, you taste it and you swallow it. So actually, though, you have another machlokas on that as well. Does it mean that even if he's swallowing it, he would be, and in the case of a bracha, that he wouldn't make a bracha because he's not doing it for the sake of eating, he's doing it for the sake of tasting it? Or does it mean that this whole heter to do it on a tainus is, and the heter without a bracha only applies to spitting it out? But then you have a machlokas on that. The halacha is that you shouldn't be swallowing it. A third question is,
if you don't swallow, you don't have to make a bracha.
Right. But if you do swallow, then you have a machlokas, whether up to a revius, you need to make a bracha. The Alter Rebbe, in the end, in Seder Birkas Hanan, just says flat out that any amount you eat, you require a bracha beforehand. Okay. Then a third question is, when we say ad shir revi'itza, what does that mean? So some of the poskim say that actually what it means is the revius is cumulative throughout the day. So if a person were to be in the morning of a fast, he tastes a little bit, and later in the day, even if it's long after Kedashulis translator, another little bit, and so on and so forth, once he reaches a total amount of a revius, then that's it. He can't any more for the day.
Is he breaking his fast?
If he does any more than that, then at that point, then he can't eat anymore, because then he would be breaking
his fast.
No, at that point, up to a revius, he's allowed, but then more than that, not. Getting back to greeting people, Amar Rav, Kol Anosin Shalom L'Chaveri Kodim Sheisparo, a person who says Shalom to somebody else before he davens, Ke'ilu Asoi Bum. It's as if he made that other person a bum. A bum, we know, is a private mizbeach. In certain times in history, you were allowed to have, but ordinarily, you're only allowed to bring korbanos at the Mishkan or the Beth Mikdash. So like this, by saying Shalom to somebody else, especially Shalom, which is the name of Hashem, before davening, then it's as if he's making him a bum. It's as if like he's taking a korban that should have been brought to Hashem and bringing it elsewhere. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Chiblu lachem min ha'odem Hashem neshama ba'avai, stay away from the person who his neshama is in his nose. Kibamen, we'll explain in a second what that means. Kibamen nechavu, because for what is he counted? Al tikri bameh ela bama. Don't read bameh for what, but rather bama, that you're making him into a bama. In other words, when you're supposed to be involved in the covet of Hashem, don't be involved in a covet of a person. Because Rashi says it can't just mean in general, because what are you supposed to be, a misanthrope and not deal with people? It means at a time when you're supposed to be honoring Hashem instead. Shmuel says, we understand the pasuk a little bit differently. You don't even have to change the word bameh. Bameh hashav de lazev loy loy leka. With what are you making this person important rather than Hashem? How can you make him that you're giving him covered ahead of Hashem?
So one second.
There's going to be dinim in that. Hold on. We're going to ask about that now from our Mishnah about that we just said about Shoyol and Meshim with Nakovod. So, but first of all, though, in a number of places in Chassidus, it talks about, including in the wedding minor, the Hadoidi, it talks about the idea that before a person davens, his neshama is, so to speak, only in his nose. It's still like it hasn't fully entered into his body. He's alive and he's everything, but he's not fully there yet. Only after he davens can he say that his neshama has been internalized. Therefore, neshama ba'afa literally means that he hasn't yet davened. So at that point, to greet him would be making him a bummer, as Rav is saying. So the question is, Mosiv Rav Sheshes, V'prokim Shomu Pnat Kavod HaMeshiv. We said in our Mishnah that between the sections of Shema, you're allowed to greet somebody and you're allowed to respond. So you see, and then Shema is before Shemana Esrei. So you see, you are allowed to greet somebody before Shemana Esrei. Yeah. The answer is Tirgumot of Abba V'mashkim U'Kisvot. The answer is Rav Abba explained the objection that Rav and Shmuel are saying that's also to do that is where he goes early to the other guy's door in order to greet him with shalom. So, meaning, in other words, Tosfos says, in other words, if he just happens to meet him on the street, then he would be allowed to. So you have, now there's actually in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions there's a number of distinctions to be made over here. First of all, is he mashkin the piskoy? Is he actually going specifically to the person's house for the purpose of wishing him shalom? Then he's not allowed to do that. Not only not to say shalom, which is actually the name of Hashem, but even to just tell him good morning, sakra demaratav, which is Aramaic for good morning, where he's going specifically to his door specifically for that purpose. The second possibility is where he's going there for some other purpose. He's going there for some other purpose, and by the way, while he's there, he's going to greet the person and say hello to him. Then you have a little more leeway over there. Then in Shulchan Aruch it says, then you have a little more leeway over there. If you're going to him for something else, then you're able to. So you're not supposed to say shalom to him, but you would be able to. You would be able to tell him good morning. If you're not specifically going there for that purpose. And then the third possibility is you just meet him on the street. Then in each of these cases, we have different opinions among the posts, but this is how the decision is. I'm saying the actual halacha is brought in Shulchan Aruch, and as the Alphabet brings it in Shulchan Aruch, if you meet him on the street, then in principle, you're actually even allowed to say shalom to him, even though that's the name of Hashem, because you didn't go to see him at all. But nevertheless, it's still better to say to him, Safra Demaratav, rather than shalom, in order that then the other person realizes, you know what, you still have to go and daven. Like this, usually you say shalom to him, and instead today you're saying something different. The other guy will realize, you know what, let me not engage this guy in a long conversation. He has to go daven first.
And if he's not that educated in our offer.
Nowadays, how often do we say shalom to each other anyway? We say good morning, or we say other such phrases. Yeah. We're talking about...
We said that if he doesn't say, he doesn't answer shalom, he's about
Okay, so that's if the other person greets him first. So we're not talking about that. That's if the other person greets him first. We're not talking about that. We're talking about initiating the greeting. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Onward. If a person does his personal needs before he davens, it's as if he built a bummer. So Rav Zera asks Rav Yonah, did you actually say that it's a bummer? No, I didn't say that it's as bad as making a bummer, but I did say that it's also. The reason why this is all in parenthesis is Rashi is not good at this. But other Rishonim are, so therefore we have it printed in the Gemara. Anyway, the Chidur of Idi Ba'ovin, so therefore it's similar to what Rabbi Idi Ba'ovin says. The Amr of Idi Ba'ovin, Amr of Yitzchak Ashian, also Lo La'odim, Lashes Chafatim, Kodim Shiz Fal. A person is not allowed to do his personal business, personal matters, before he davens. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Tzedek Lafon of Yahalech, Tzedek refers to Tefillah, which Rashi says, Masdikar Laboro, it justifies him in front of Hashem. That the person has to do. Tzedek should go before him first, and then the yosem l'derech ba'omav. Only then does he go. Only then does he set out on the road to his personal affairs.
So you're talking about his business affairs.
His business affairs or whatever. Yeah. The omer of idi ba'oven omer of itzavashim kolam espalav achakach yitzol derech. And in fact, if a person does things in the right order, he first davens, then he goes on the road. Hakadosh Baruch Hu oisalei chafotzav. Then Hashem will do for him what he needs. then in other words, his business will be successful, and he'll, Hashem will help him that his business will be successful. Shenema, the same pasuk, Tzedek Lafon of Yahalech. Here we understand Yahalech to be transitive, that Hashem will, Tzedek Lafon of Yahalech, if Tzedek goes before him, before the person, they dive in first, and then he goes, then the Yosein, Hashem will make that, Derech Bamav, Hashem will transitive, in other words, that Hashem will do for him to make that his footsteps will go on the road and be successful.
So one second. So you cannot check your email. You cannot open your phone.
Okay. So first of all, then are we talking about before Shemana Esrei? So in Shulchan Aruch it brings from the Tirumas Hadeshin, who says that maybe as long as at least you said some of the brachas, then you could. However, Shulchan Aruch says you still it's better to be machmir than that. So yeah, it would mean. Now with that said, though, there is a heter. For example, if let's say you have in those times, if let's say a caravan is leaving and they're not going to wait for you, or to put it in modern terms, if you have a plane to catch or something and they're not going to wait for you, then you have more leeway. But ordinarily, if you have the ability to check it out to do it afterwards, then you should do it afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Doesn't apply to a physician. It needs to, to check some labs and.
If he's able to daven earlier. I mean, remember the time for davening begins fairly early in the morning. Yeah. I mean, whatever. If possible, but at least you do have to have. Even the Tirumas Hadeshin would say you at least have had to have said morning brachas and
things.
Okay.
We're talking about tefillah.
Yeah. Okay. The omen of Yonah, omen of Zera.
That also assumes that. It's even if he said Kriyat Shema before
The Omer of Yonah, Omer of Zera. Since we mentioned something Rabbi Yonah said in the name of Rabbi Zera, so we mentioned another one. Kol halon shivas yomim b'loy chalon, if a person sleeps for 7 days consecutively and he doesn't have any dreams, nikra ra, he's called bad. Why? I know you're wondering why, just a second. Shenema, v'soveya yolin bal yupoked ra. A pasuk says in Mishlei, we're going to learn this also in the last paragraph, we're going to have a whole sugya about dreams. The person who sleeps satisfied, satiated, bal yupoked, that he's not visited, ra, evil. So the simple meaning of the pasuk, in other words, we're talking about, for example, we're talking about tzaddik, somebody who sleeps satiated, and he won't be visited by anything bad. But here the Gemara is explaining, I'll take soveya el sheva, not soveya, satisfied, but sheva. Therefore, we punctuate the pasuk as follows. V'sheva yolin, if he's lying for 7 days, bal yipoked, and he's not being visited with a dream, run, then he's bad. Now, why should that be? So on the simple level, what it means is, Rashi says, because it means Hashem doesn't care to, like this, a dream is a certain level of nevuah. The Gemara in the last parak calls it 1/60th of nevuah. So obviously we're talking about a person. Hashem doesn't even care to check in on him, so to speak, and give him some idea of what's going on and what he should be correcting or whatever. There are various explanations. For example, there's an explanation, Alpi Jerush. He says that what it is that a person should realize that the world, that Olam Hazeh is a dream. The Olam Haba and Torah and Mitzvah, so Ruchnius is the real thing. So if a person goes for 7 days consecutively, including Shabbos, not realizing that and thinking that this world is all the reality there is, then that's no good. The Mizrach Magid says a vort on it, which is brought in his sefer, the Magid Vort of Yaakov. He says that the days over here refer to the 7 days over here refer to the seven midos, and the word chaloyim, besides meaning dream, can also mean strong. So it means if a person is lazy for seven and he just keeps his midos as they are and doesn't make any effort to strengthen them, then nikra ra. Okay. But again, the simple meaning is what Rashi is saying, just that a person is expected to have dreams occasionally because that way Hashem sends messages to a person in a dream.
Well, scientifically, everybody dreams. You cannot live without dreams.
Okay, well, then in that case, then very few people are not, I guess. Then
number two, you can forget which is
dreams. Okay, so maybe that's okay. Maybe that's what we're talking about. I don't know. Okay. We said Elohim ben Aprokim before. We said the following are the sections between the paragraphs, and we listed between the first bracha and the second, between the second bracha and Shema and so forth. And we said the last one was between Ani Hashem Elokeichem and Emes. But then Rabbi Hodad said between Hashem Elokeichem and Emes, you should not be interrupted. Which we said, it's a machloket of the Rishonim. What does that mean? Does that mean you shouldn't interrupt at all? Not mipnei HaKavod, not mipnei HaYira? Or does it mean you can interrupt there like you would between any other text?
Between Hashem
Elokeichem and Emes. Emes, right. Okay. So, So the halacha is like, you don't interrupt between Elokeichem and Emes V'Yachdiv. Even though it's true that Emes V'Yachdiv is the beginning of the next bracha, nevertheless, you're not supposed to interrupt between Hashem, Elokeichem, and Emes. My time of the Rehoda. Why indeed does a Rehoda say you shouldn't be interrupted there? The reason is Hashem Elokim Emes, because you have a pasuk that says Hashem Elokim is truth. So therefore, we want to express that same idea in Shema, and therefore we don't want to interrupt between Ani Hashem Elokeichem and Emes.
But that's a min.
No, it's a, that, since it's once mentioned in the Gemara, then it has the status of halacha. So again, you have Rishonim who learn, the Rambam, for example, learns that what it means is, okay, it's not considered Bein HaPrakim, it's considered Bein HaPerek, fine. So whatever you could interrupt for, Bein HaPerek, that we said before, then you can interrupt between Hashem Elokeichem and Emes if you need to. Some of the other Rishonim say that no, it means absolutely not. Not even, it would be like in the pasuk of Shema itself, where you're not supposed to interrupt for anything unless like it's a danger to life. The question is, do you repeat the word MS or not? So one explanation of what the question is, suppose the person did interrupt after Hashem Elokeichem MS, suppose he interrupted for some purpose. Now does he continue and say MS again and then continue V'yaktiv, or does he not? Does he just continue V'yaktiv? Marsha wants to say that we're talking about in general. In other words, I'm talking about in general. Should a person, having said, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes, should he then continue again Emes V'yachdiv, even if there was no interruption? Okay. Amar Rabba Bohu Amar Rechon, and Choy Zavah Oim Emes, he does repeat the word Emes. Rabba Amar Enoch Choy Zavah Oim Emes. Rabba says he does not have to say Emes again. How the Gemara tells, how Hujan Nochet Tameh de Rabba, a person once went down, which means to daven by the Amud in front of Rabba. As we said, Nochet means to go down. As we said the other day, the Chazan would usually stand below, lower than the rest of the Tzibur, Mimamakam Kosich Hashem, and therefore it's called Yored Lefna Teva, and in Aramaic it's called Nochet. So a person went down to daven by the Amud in front of Rabba. Shamei Rabba, the Amud, Emes, Emes, Trezimi. Rabba heard him say Emes twice. Omer Rabba called Emes Emes Tafsilahai. So Rabba says, like dismissively, like look at this. Like, the guy is just he's fixated on the word Emes, but he's saying it again and again. As in other words, why is he bothering? Rabba said Einachos of Omer, so there's no reason to say Emes twice. Now, with that said, though, it does bring in Shulchan Aruch that you are supposed to have something extra because in Shema you have 245 words. You want to get up to 248 to correspond to the Ramachi volume. So where do you get the extra three words from? So one minhag is that you say Keil Melech Ne'eman before Shema, and that's the three words, which brings it up to 248. The other minhag is that you repeat at the end, you repeat a phrase at the end, either Ani Hashem Elokeichem or Hashem Elokeichem Em. Based on our Gemara, based on our Gemara and based on
certain... Elokeichem Em, and then you say...
And then you would continue to be active. Then you continue reactive. So there's a few possibilities. So in Nusach Ashkenaz, they have that if a person is saying Shema privately, not with a minion,
right,
then he does say Keil Melech Ne'eman ahead of time, and that way he goes to the extra words. If he's davening in shul, then the Chazan repeats, Hashem Elokeichem Emes, and that also counts for the three words. Our minhag based on other poskim is you don't ever say Keil Melech Ne'eman because it would be an interruption between the bracha and Shema. What you do instead is there's different minhagim about exactly what to do. Our minhag is based on what the Alter Rebbe writes in the Seder, that if you're davening b'chidus, then you repeat the words Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So you say Asher Teseh Chamesh Tam Liyepachem Elokeichem Ani Hashem Elokeichem Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes. And if the Chazan is saying it, then the Chazan says Hashem Elokeichem Emes and repeats those words out loud.
He never says that.
Of course you do. He does. You listen to the Chazan at the end of that paragraph. He will. He'll finish off for himself on Hashem Elokeichem on Hashem Elokeichem, and then he'll say out loud for everybody's benefit Hashem Elokeichem Emes.
Yeah, they say Hashem Elokeichem Emes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
They don't say Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes.
I didn't say it. He says Ani to himself twice. So that way you come out with the 248 words either way. The point is, Rabbah's objection over here in the Gemara is to saying emes twice, but you do repeat Hashem Elokeichem emes in order to be moitzi the tibur, the extra 3 words, and then you continue to be after. Okay. Amr Rabbi Yosef kama malya hoshmaisa. Rabbi Yosef says about the following thing that we're going to learn. This next statement that we're going to learn is how great it is, how wonderful it is. What is it? The author of Shmuel by Yehuda Amar, when Shmuel by Yehuda came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported, Amri b'mar Rabbah, they say in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, Arvis, in Meiriv, instead of saying the whole parasha of Tzitzis, because after all, the mitzvah of Tzitzis doesn't apply at night. The whole reason, we said at the end of the first parak, the whole reason why we're saying Vayomer in Shema at night is just in order to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, so they don't say the whole paragraph. They say, Dabar of Meisrael v'amarta aleichem, v'amarta aleichem, ani Hashem alekeichem emes. They just they shorten it. They gather up Bnei Yisrael, speak to Bnei Yisrael, we are marked out there, and you should tell them, and then they skip to the end of the paragraph, and then they continue Emes. So Rabbi Yosef is very impressed by that. Rishonim asked the question, we learned previously that a parasha or pasuk that Moshe did not split up, we're not allowed to. So how are they allowed to do that over here? They're saying half a pasuk, and then they're skipping a few pasukim and saying the other half of a pasuk. So one answer, which you find that the Ritva gives it, and many others after him also say the same answer. There is actually a pasuk in Parshas Acharimos that goes exactly like that. So therefore, so it sounds like they're skipping Sukkim from Parshas Shlach, from the Parsha of Tzitzis, but really what they're doing is they're saying a whole different pasuk from Parshas Acharimos. So that's what. Well, that's one reason why Rabbi Yosef is so impressed by that. That this way, they're not being over on. Okay, I'm taking a pasuk out of. They're not over. They're completing a pasuk, so therefore that's fine. Therefore it's not. That's okay because they're saying a pasuk. They're saying a complete pasuk. But if they say split a pasuk without finishing it, and then they skip to another one, then yeah, that would be a problem. Omele Abaye my Malu. So, but Rabbi Yosef says to Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, "What's so wonderful? Well, why are you so impressed by this?" V'ha'omer of Tahana Omer Rav. Didn't Rav Kahana say in the name of Rav, Lo Yaskil, it's true, in my Rav, you don't have to start by saying Vayomer. The in Hiskel, but if you did begin the paragraph, Vayomer, then you have to finish it. So what do you mean they're starting the paragraph and then they're not finishing it? The Chitema of the Amarta Aleim, my Habeaskola, so you're going to say that even if you get as far as the Amarta Aleim, it's not really considered the beginning because you haven't actually gotten to the mitzvah yet. You could argue that only when you get to the words, but also the Hamtitzis, then you could say you actually have a paragraph underway. But no. Didn't Shmuel bar Yitzchak say in the name of Rav, Gaber of Bnei Yisrael, I have asked Allah. It's true that just saying Gaber of Bnei Yisrael is not yet considered the beginning, because you haven't really gotten into anything yet. But once you say Ramar Ta'alayim, then it is considered. So how, what are you telling me? So these Bnei Eretz Yisrael are going as far as Ramar Ta'alayim, and then they're skipping Tan Yashem Lekechem. Very nice. It makes up a posik of its own, but they're not saying it, they're not fundamentally saying it because of the posik in Achrimos. That just kind of gives them an excuse. But the fact remains that they're beginning the paragraph. No, not interrupting. They're beginning the paragraph. They're getting as far as the Amar Ta'alayim, which Rav tells us already considered that you started the paragraph, and therefore you have to finish it, and they're not finishing it.
It's an interruption.
No, it's not an interruption, but the problem is that they're not doing it properly. Once you began the paragraph, you're supposed to finish it. Yeah. Okay. The answer is Omar Papa, because your Papa answers Kasavri Bamarova. Okay. In Eretz Yisrael they hold that the Amar Ta'alayim is not really considered the beginning yet either, because the Amar Ta'alayim is not yet, there's no actual mitzvah yet. It's all the preface. Only when you get to the Osalam Sitis, that would be the Haskalah. Adam of Osalam Tzitzis, until they say of Osalam Tzitzis, Rav Papa says, evidently, now it's Israel, they hold, they haven't really considered, they're not really considered to have begun the paragraph, and therefore they're not contradicted by Rav Din. Okay. What's the bottom line? Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Hilchach, therefore, the bottom line we get out of this is as follows. Fine. What they do in Eretz Yisrael, fine, that's their business. They want to say that Ramar Ta'alayim is not yet considered to begin it, and therefore they're allowed to skip and finish with the end of the paragraph, then fine, they can do that. But Anan Hilchach, Anan, we in Babel, Aschuli Maschulinan, we do begin the paragraph, because after all, now it's through all they do, we shouldn't do less than them. So we are going to start by Yom Hashem Omer Shalem, Dabra of Meisrael, Ramar Ta'alayim. which is as far as they say also, the kivendas chalinan, and once we begin, nigmo nami gamrin, and then we do actually go and finish it, d'homer rakhan omer rav, lo yaspo v'mitz chogonmer. Rav Kahana had said in the name of Rav, but if you start, then you have to finish. We in Babel don't hold like the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, like Rav Papa is explaining them, that you know, that even Ramat Aleim is not considered to have really begun the paragraph. We hold it is, so once we get to Ramat Aleim, then we're committed, and then we finish it. So that's how we do it. The whole thing was stuck in. But the point is, Abaya is saying the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, what they're doing in effect is they're saying the beginning of one paragraph and the end of that paragraph, which turns out to be a pasuk elsewhere in Chumash. Fine, but that's because they hold that Ramat Aleim, having gotten to Ramat Aleim, is not yet considered having begun the paragraph. They're not committed to that paragraph, and therefore they didn't really have to. Therefore they don't have to finish it.
They say Vasulam.
They don't say Vasulam.
No. They say it starts with Vasulam.
They say that they're right. The paragraph itself is considered to begin with Vasulam. We in Babel hold that once you get to Ramat Aleim, is, but then therefore, so once we're committed, then we finish it, and that's how everybody does nowadays. Chiyah Barav Amar. Okay. So Chiyah Barav says, and another din in this connection, Omar Ani Hashem Alekechem Tzoruch Loi Ma'emes. If you say Ani Hashem Alekechem, then you have to, for the parasha of Sittis, then you have to say Emes, because he said before, Hashem Alekechem Emes. Loi Omar Ani Hashem Alekechem. But if you didn't say that, then you don't have to say Emes. Not only not the word Emes, what we mean the whole paragraph of Emes Ve'emuna, the whole bracha of Emes Ve'emuna. Chiyah Barav is saying that if you did not say the parasha of Tzitzis, then you're not required to say that bracha. The bracha only goes if you said the parasha of Tzitzis. So the question is, what do you mean? Don't we have, we said, if you don't say parasha of Tzitzis, and you don't say the bracha emes v'emunah, then where are you mentioning the Tzitzis Mitzrayim by night? The answer is Dalma Hachim. The answer is that you could be saying a short nusach. We thank you, Hashem, our God, that you took us out of the land of Mitzrayim, and you redeemed us from the house of slaves. You did for us miracles and powerful things by the sea. And we sang a song to you, and then we continue. Rashi says, then we continue Mikamocha, and then Machus Karov Anecha, and so forth, and the rest of the Nusach. So you're taking the theme of Emes Ve'emuna and shortening it a little bit. So that he says you'd be allowed to do. If you're not saying parashat Tzitzis, you're not ending with Ani Hashem Elokeichem, then you don't need a paragraph afterwards that begins with MS. Because the whole reason why it begins with MS is to have this concept of Hashem Elokeichem.
To complete the
200. Well, not because of the 248 words, because if you don't say the parashat Tzitzis, you don't have 248 words anyway.
Right.
No, it's because to stress this idea, Hashem Elokeichem MS. So if you're not saying Ani Hashem Elokeichem, then you don't have to begin a paragraph with MS. Okay, I mean, that's not brought by halacha, because by halacha, as the Gemara said before, we do have to say the actual parasha. We said in the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Shimon Kocha, Lama Kodma Parashas Shema B'chola, why does the parasha of Shema come before the Hoyim Shemaya? Which we said, we said over there, Tosafot mentions it over here, that the reason is, that, in other words, what the Gemara and what the Mishnah is asking is, if you're going to say it goes according to the order in the Torah, then actually Vayomer comes before any of the other ones. Vayomer is in Chumash Bamidbar, and the other two are in Chumash Devarim. But obviously we're not going according to the order in the Torah. Once we're not going in the order of the Torah, then Vahoya, which is phrased in the plural, should come first. So why doesn't it? And we said the reason is because you should be Makabel, Oil Malchus Shemayim Tchila, and then Oil Mitzvah. So Tanya, we're learning a Brisa, a little expansion on that. Reb Shimon Yechoyomer, the Din Hu Sheyachim Shema V'Vahoyim Shemayim. It's only right that Shema comes before Vahoyim Shemaya, Shazel Lomod Vazel Alam, because in Shema it talks about the mitzvah of learning Torah for yourself, the Dibarta Bam, whereas in Vahoyim Shemaya it talks about teaching Torah, Lomantamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamotamot The question is, Otu Shema Lumad Espe Lamed Velasas. And Rav Yechon and Rav Shimon Yochai says it's logical what Vahayim Shemaya comes before Vahayim. She's a luma dezelasis, because in Vahayim Shemaya it talks about learning Torah, and in Vahayim it talks about doing actual mitzvahs, and you have to learn about the mitzvahs before you do them. In Vahayim it doesn't say anything about learning Torah; it just says about doing mitzvahs. Fine, but you still have to learn before you can do the mitzvah. The question is, how does that work? Otter Shema Lumud Israel Lamed Balakas last day. What are you telling me? And Shema it only says about learning, it doesn't say about teaching and about doing. In the paragraph of Shema, in the paragraph of Rahapta, you have it says you should teach to your children, it says you should tie on tefillin, you should write mezuzah. So it has learning and doing in it also. It has teaching and doing in it also. Also, it sounds like the Shimon Yehoi is saying that in Bahoyim Shemaya, you only have teaching, you don't have doing mitzvahs. What do you mean? And the mitzvahs of tefillin and mezuzah are in there also. Ela hachikama. You're right. What Rav Shimon means is like this. B'dinu shetichtem Shema v'Bahoyim Shemaya, it is only logical that Shema should come before Bahoyim Shemaya, shezel lumud ulalamid vilas. It's because Shema has all three. To learn Torah, and to teach Torah, and to do the mitzvah of the Torah. Because it does. It has the dibarta bam, that you yourself speak in words of Torah. It has the shinantam, that you should teach Torah. And it has a kshartam, oksantam, that you should do the mitzvah of tefillin and mitzvah.
So therefore,
Shema should come first, because it has all of those three elements, whereas v'hoyim shema, whereas shizelumah, the lamed v'lasis, because Shema has all three of them, and v'hoyim shemaya does not have lumah, it only has l'lamed and lasis. And Vahoyim Shemoyal Vayomer, Vahoyim Shemoyal logically should come before Vayomer, Shazay Yeshval Lulamid Velasis, because in Vahoyim Shemoyal you have teaching and doing, because you have the Limadim Oysam and Ukshautam and Ukshautam, Vahoyim and Velasis, Lulamid, and Vayomer only has the actual doing of mitzvah. So therefore, Rav Shimon is saying that's why we have the order we have. So the question is, why do we need Rav Shimon to be telling us that? The people claim that Rav Shimon Parcha. Isn't it good enough, the reason that Rav Shimon Parcha said in the Mishnah, that in Shema you're accepting on yourself the Malchus of Hashem? In Vahoyim Shemaya, you're only talking about observing mitzvahs. So therefore, obviously, you have to accept Hashem's kingship first before you accept mitzvahs. And then Vayomer comes next, because the mitzvah described in Vayomer, the mitzvah of Tzitzis, is only applicable by day. Isn't that reason enough? Why does Rav Shimon have to give us another reason? The answer is chod avoid comma. You're right. Rav Shimon is just telling us there is a reason that Rav Shimon Yechoy, that Rav Shimon Torah said, but I'm going to give you another reason. Chod avoid means one and another one. Chod avoid means one and another one. Number one, because first you have to accept Hashem's kingship and only then to accept mitzvah. But oid, and also, and also because Shema has these extra things that Vahoyim Shemaya doesn't, and Vahoyim Shemaya has these extra things that Vahoyim doesn't. Okay. So that's that. So we have two reasons for the order. The Gemara continues, Rav Moshe Yode, Rav used to, in the morning, wash his hands, Nevovaser, V'kora Krishma, he would say Shema, V'anach Tfilin, then he would put on Tfilin, V'tzali, and then he would daven Shemin Esrei. Not saying that he did it on a regular basis, but one time they saw Rav doing that he did things in that order. He washed, he said Shema, put on tefillin, and said Shemin Esrei. The question is, V'heichi Ovid Hochi, how could he do that? How could he do that? Why is he putting on tefillin only after saying Shema? V'hatanya, we learn in a brisa, ha'chofu kuchla mes b'kever, if a person is digging a niche for a mess in a burial area, so the Gemara mentions in Baba Basra and in some other places, that the typical way they used to bury in those days, and you can find there are places in Eretz Yisrael, like in Bet Sharim, where they have layouts like this, they would have a big cave, and then around the sides of the cave, there would be niches carved into the walls into which they would put the mason. So here we're talking about that you have, there's already a cave. So you have, it could be a natural cave, or it could be a man-made cave, or sometimes both. I mean, they'd start out with a natural one and then enlarge it. Whatever, the point is that there's this cave, which is the general burial area, and then around the sides of it, there are sticking out into the wall. There are niches over there where they'd put, right, so originally first they'd bury the body until the flesh decays, then they'd collect the bones and put them in a box, or whatever. The niches were used to put the mason in, so a person is digging out such a niche. That since he's osik b'mitzvah, we learned in the previous parak osik b'mitzvah potim min ha-mitzvah, therefore potim kriyishma, so he's potim from kriyishma, because if he has to say shema and he has to have kavanah, then that'll delay him in his job, and the mess needs to be buried. Umin atfila, he's potim from davening shemin esrei, umin atfilin, as well as from tefillin, umin kol mitzvah tamuras ha-torah, and all the other mitzvahs it says in the Torah. Tosfos asks, by the way, shema is part of the mitzvah tamuras ha-torah, why list it separately? The answer is because otherwise you would think, you know what, other mitzvah is fine. He's possible because he can do them some other time. He didn't do them now. He can do them later in the day. Shema, there's a deadline. You can only say it's like 3 hours in a day. You think maybe he has to stop and do it. No, we're saying that he doesn't. He gives man kriya shema. What happens when the time of shema comes? Oila, he has to come out from underground where he's busy digging. The noto yada, he washes his hands. Umaniach tefillin, v'koda kriya shema, umaswalo. And he puts on tefillin and says shema and daven. So before we get to the question on Rav, we first have to figure out what the Braisa is saying. How grupa kasha. You have a contradiction in the Braisa. Reisha ala potter v'sefa kaya. First you're saying he's potter. Then you're saying that when it comes to the time of Shema, he has to stop his work and go and then put on tefillin and say Shema. The answer is holei kasha. That's not a contradiction because sefa betray v'reisha b'chav. The second part of the Braisa is talking about when there are two people doing the digging. So fine. One of them can take a break. And one of them can take a break and say Shema and then put on tefillin and say Shema and whatever. And then he returns to the digging and the other one takes back over. And therefore, there's no interruption. Therefore, there's no delay. There's no delay in the mitzvah. But Reisha B'chad, where's the Reisha? It's talking about there's only one person. So if he stops for Shema and tefillin and whatever, then it's going to interrupt things. In Shulchan Aruch, by the way, it brings. Suppose that the pastor said...
In other words, he's potter until the Zman, basically.
No, we're saying he's potter. He's potter even after this man, if he's working by himself. If he's working with a partner, himself, then he's potter completely.
Even after this man.
Even after this man, that's what we're saying. Because as long as he's oisik for mitzvah, he's potter min ha-mitzvah. But if there's somebody else there who's working on it, now the pashtus, what it is the kind of digging they did in those days, it was a one person at a time job. You can't have both of them or can't be digging at the same time because the niche in a wall, so therefore you can have, they can be taking turns. When minhogim of burial changed and you started having that they just dig a hole in the ground, as we do it nowadays, then you could have where two people can be working and it goes faster. So then it says in Shulchan Aruch that if the two of them working together, it goes faster, then in fact, then they don't alternate. They both continue at it, even if it means they're missing the time of tefillin and shema and whatnot, because again, oisik b'mitzvah, it's important to get the mess buried as soon as possible.
More than 10 kriyas.
Anyway, the point is, Mikolma from Kashel or Rav. Anyway, the bottom line is we seem to have a contradiction on Rav, because Rav first said Shema and put on Tefillin, and here in the Braisa we're saying the proper order is you put on Tefillin and then Shema. The answer is Rav could be Shurban Kochas, really. The answer is okay, but Rav holds like Rabbi Shurban Kochas of our Mishnah. Because that's what Rabbi Shurban Kochas says. First, you accept on yourself Ur Malchus Shemaim, which is by saying Shema, and then you accept Ur Mitzvah, which is putting on Tefillin. The question is, Amor Dramar Rabbi Shimon Kocha La'Akim Kriya L'Kriya. Who says Rabbi Shimon Kocha is talking about when it comes to saying the paragraphs of Shema, then you say them in that order. First Shema, then Rahoyim Shemaya. Why? Kriya La'Siya Mishamat Light. Who says Rabbi Shimon Kocha is saying anything about saying before doing? He might well agree with the Braisa that you have to put on Shulam first. But two, and furthermore, misava like Rabbi Shurban Kocha, does Rav in fact hold like Rabbi Shurban Kocha? Va'amar Rav Chiya Ba'ashi, zimnin sagiyin ha'vaka'imna kameh de Rav. Many times I was standing in the Talmud in front of Rav, umakim umoshi yodeh, Rav would get up early, he would wash negolaser, umavarech, he would say brachas, in particular the bracha on Torah, then he would teach us our section of Sifra that they were learning at the time, as we learned in the previous parable. Then he would put on tefillin, and then he would say Shema. So obviously, therefore, therefore he's teaching Torah first, which is he's teaching Torah first, which is doing a mitzvah before accepting Malchus Shemayim. So obviously he holds that you can do that. So why is he putting on tefillin only after saying Shema? And besides that, in this particular case, we see he put on tefillin before Kriya Shema. So you're going to say, okay, maybe the case when Rav Chiya Ba'ashi was talking about is where it wasn't yet time for Shema. So Rav woke up very early in the morning, even before Alos HaShachar, so before Mishiyakar, so it's not even time for Shema yet. So therefore, of necessity, he's doing the other things first. The question is, okay, Maya Hante did Rav Chiya Ba'ashi. In that case, then what would be the point of what Rav Chiya Ba'ashi is telling us? Obviously, then in that case, Shema has to come later than other things. The answer is the Gemara says not necessarily. No, because it might be Rav Chiya Ba'ashi just wants to tell us. He's not focusing so much on the fact that Shema was latest. Fine, Shema was latest because he had no choice. It wasn't his mind for it yet. What he's focusing on, though, is the fact that Rav said the brachas, including the bracha on the Torah, before teaching them Torah. And the point is, in order to tell us not like the opinion that says, which we learned previously on Daf Yud Aleph, that You don't have to make the bracha before you learn Mishnah, only before you, according to that opinion, only before you learn Mikra. Kamash Malan, that's the Mishnah. Therefore, Rav Chiya Ashi wants to tell us that no, you have to say the brachas on Torah even before you teach Mishnah.
And these brachas,
the brachas that we say on Torah. No, I'll do a Torah, Baharavna, I'll do a Torah, Baharavna, and Ashab HaBaran. So the question, okay, so we can't necessarily prove from that the fact that he taught Torah before saying Shema, that he doesn't hold that normally Shema should go first. Okay, but the question is, Makom from Kasha L'Rav. Okay, so the problem still is that in the first report we said that Rav said Shema and then put on Tefillin, and in the second report we said he put on Tefillin and then said Shema. So what is it? The answer is Shluchahu Da'avis. The answer is the first report is based on the Shliach Mesta. The Rav had sent somebody to go get him a tefillin, and meanwhile it came time for Shema, so the Rav has to say Shema before the time is up. So therefore, of necessity, therefore he put on Shema without tefillin. Later on, when the guy finally came, they were late with the tefillin, then Rav put them on at that point. But ordinarily, he would indeed put them on before Shema.
Obviously,
he messed up. He messed up. He came later than expected. So that's why he inverted it. But usually he would put on tefillin before Shema. Which, by the way, you have the halacha, when we talked about before, about interrupting in various places in davening, you have the halacha that if a person did not have a talis or tefillin before Tosfos starts the discussion over here, that therefore, for example, that if a person didn't have a talis or tefillin before Shema, then he's allowed to then he's allowed to put it on. Tosfos actually says that. That the case with it, for example, Tosfos brings a case involving one of the Balei Tosfos, Rabbi Yehuda, that the guy was late. Rabbi Yitzchak had already said Shema and the brachas, but then he put on his talis and then he continued Shema Esther. So therefore, he could put it on. So Tosfos says though maybe there's a difference, talis versus tefillin. The actual halacha in Shulchan Aruch is you are allowed to put on the talis and tefillin even between Gal Yisrael and Shemana Esrei, but you don't make the bracha. You don't make the brachas until afterwards. Afterwards, you touch the tefillin and then you make the brachas on them. But it is important to daven. It is important to daven Shemana Esrei with talis and tefillin. But on the other hand, it's not the brachas you can't interrupt it.
So you can, according to it. To the Alter Rebbe, what's the order?
So that's the point there. So normally you would put on talis and tefillin first, but if for whatever reason you didn't have your talis and tefillin available, then you're allowed to put them on later during davening, even during the brachas of Shema, even between Gal Yisrael and Shemoneh Esrei, but you don't say the bracha on them. Okay. In this connection, Amar Ola, Kolakurta Krishma Blay Tefillin, if a person says Shema without wearing tefillin, Kila made Edis Shekhar Ba'asle. It's like he's testifying falsely on himself. What do we mean himself? Rashi says it's a euphemism. It means that he's testifying falsely against Hashem, Chas Shalom. Because Hashem had said in Shema that you have to wear tefillin, and this guy is saying Shema without tefillin, so it's as if like he's testifying that Hashem spoke falsely, Chas Shalom. Rabbeinu Yonah says it means literally himself. It means that he Marshall also explains this way, that it means, in other words, that he himself is saying, as if he's saying, I don't need this mitzvah. And Hashem is saying this mitzvah, but it's addressed to other people. We're not talking about when he says it in the morning in order to be yotze before the zman goes. We're talking about in the main part of that. A person who says Shema without tefillin is as if he brought an ola, a korban ola, without the accompanying mincha, or as if he brought a zevach, a shlomim, without nesachim. Actually, Rashi and Tosfos both point out both an ola and a zevach come with both mincha and nesachim, but you have an expression in a pasuk, ola, mincha, zevach, and nesachim. So therefore, that's the expression. What's the connection between Kriya Shema and tefillin and a korban and nesachim? So there's a number of places in Chassidus that explain, starting with a maimer and Lakuta Torah, that in Parshas Shlach, that the connection is a korban is halal milmata l'mayla. You're taking a korban, you're taking the animal, and you're offering it up to Hashem. You're bringing something up to Hashem. Nesachim represents the other way around. Nesachim represents that you're bringing something down from milmayla l'mata. The oil represents chokma, the wine represents bina, the flour represents das, and you're bringing them down. And the same thing, that's the same relationship between Kriya Shema and Tefillin. Kriya Shema is, I'm shocked, is halal mimata l'mayla, you're bringing yourself up to Hashem. Tefillin is the other way around, you're drawing down, of course, into the world through Tefillin. So therefore, if a person who says Shema without Tefillin, then on a ruchniistic level. The dynamics of it are the same thing as a korban without nesachim. You're doing halal mimata maila, but without the hamshacha mila maila lemata. Okay.